Cincinnati.com.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, glad you're with us this morning. Sorry, I'm a little slow to the draw. I had not connected with Bob about a song that we did not do this morning. So I was like thinking there was one more song. But that's okay. I'm ready to go. So glad you're with us this morning as we're continuing in the What Are You Doing That For series. And today we are at the topic of what are you waiting for? I was thinking about this, and you've probably had a time in your life where you knew that you were supposed to do something. There was something you were supposed to do in that moment. You needed to do it like now, or you would miss your chance, right? Like maybe it was something you needed to say to a loved one who passed away before you said your piece. Or maybe a confrontation you needed to have with someone who wounded you, but they moved on or moved away before you ever had that chance. Maybe it was a word of advice to a friend about a decision they were going to make. And once they made that decision, your chance would pass. You were worried about the direction they were headed. Or maybe a job opportunity that you didn't apply for. Maybe it was an investment you didn't make. Maybe it was a girl or a guy you never asked out, right? Like, I think that's the premise of just about every Hallmark movie, right? But don't worry, about 15 years later, it'll all come back around. When they return to town after leaving the big city. Anyway, sorry. right? So I just talked to a friend this week who had a business decision that he actually had to make. He was kicking himself over it because, quite honestly, it's one he knew he needed to make. He probably should have made it a year to a year and a half ago, but not doing it cost him a lot of money and a ton of stress in his life, right? And so today's theme is, what are you waiting for? Because despite those instances in life, there are times where spiritually it seems like we often do the same thing. Right, like, so kind of the story to start things off this morning is about the Apostle Paul, and he was giving his testimony before people in Jerusalem when he was arrested. Now, this is later in his ministry, later in life, and here's the first part of what he said. He was referring back to when he first became a follower of Jesus, and this is found in Acts 22. You can turn there if you want, but the words will be on the screen. He said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way. And when he says that, he's referring to those who were followers of Jesus. They were called the way. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see, because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me. And standing by me, said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour, I received my sight and saw him. And he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth, for you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you've seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Right, so a pretty incredible testimony, obviously, of what happened to Paul and how God appeared to him and set him straight, like to be following Jesus instead of persecuting Christians. It's an amazing story. But according to Paul, as he recounts his story, part of this encounter with Jesus was Ananias telling him, "You're a witness of Jesus. You've come to know him, so now get out there and be his witness." Right? What are you waiting for? And you know what Paul's response was? I mean, he didn't respond in this story. He doesn't tell what he said in response. But if you go back and read his story, in Acts 9, it says this about him. For some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying he is the Son of God. He started proclaiming Christ immediately. Now, when it comes to us, we too have come to know Jesus. And part of our commission, part of our task, is to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, with those around us. And this is, I bring this up first because I think this is one of the areas that we're often hesitant about, sharing the gospel. Right? Last week we talked about the weapons that we have in spiritual battle, and one of them was the gospel of peace. The gospel being the good news of Jesus that brings us peace with God through Christ. Right? And Paul wrote about the readiness that we're supposed to have in sharing the gospel. Like, we have to be ready to share it, but not just ready, we actually have to share it. And Peter said something similar. In 1 Peter 3, he says this, "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy." Right? Sometimes that's the easy part, right? Yeah, I can do that. I can set aside Christ as holy. I can have that perspective. "Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for you a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Right? So always be ready. Always be prepared. Share the gospel with those who need to hear about Jesus. And so if I were to ask the question of you and of me, when's the last time that you shared the gospel with somebody who didn't know Jesus? What was the last opportunity you had to do that? Which, if you think about it, that's kind of a trick question, because we always have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone. If we can have a conversation with someone, we can talk about Jesus. Right? When's the last time you did that? When's the last time I did that? When's the last time we took a risk, stepped out in faith, and shared Jesus with someone? Now, of course, we can't control their response, but we can be intentional about sharing the gospel. That's our part. That's what we're called to. In fact, we have to be. Jesus warned that if we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us when he comes in glory. Right? That should be some real motivation for us. Do not want Jesus to be ashamed of me because I was ashamed to tell others about him. Now, the good thing is he also promised he'd be with us in this, right? We have the Holy Spirit as a helper, and his power in us, the power that is in us, is greater than the power of he who's in the world, right? Our enemy, the adversary, the devil, trying to prevent us from taking a risk and stepping out in faith. So we have him in us. And then the question when it comes to sharing the gospel would be, what are you and I waiting for? Now, spent a little time on that one area, but the message today isn't just about sharing the gospel. Okay? It isn't just about that. Now, there's probably, I don't know, even for myself, I feel like there's some conviction in all of that. But it's bigger than that. The topic is, what are you waiting for? And it's talking about many different spiritual things. That's just one spiritual area that we're often hesitant in. But there's others, right? Like we wait too long and we miss the opportunity to do a kind act, a kind thing for someone that might show them the love of Jesus. Or we wait too long and miss the chance to do that missions trip that God was pressing on our heart to take. Maybe we look back and we wish we would have spent more time in prayer instead of worrying. We look back and wish we had served God more deliberately with our talents instead of just wasting time. We might look back and wish we had really studied God's word because we find ourselves kind of lacking in knowledge of him when someone asks us a question. And we wish we knew more. We might have regrets about not sharing Jesus with a friend, that friend from college, maybe the neighbor who moved away because now the opportunity's not there. Or we have regrets about not having prayed more with our kids, teaching them about Jesus, reading from God's word with them, because now it isn't something they value. Right? And we often end up kicking ourselves for not doing these kinds of things, like lamenting that we didn't take those steps of faith back then because we waited too long and it seems as though the window is closed. And it's like if only we could jump in a time machine and go back to that moment of hesitation and like grab ourselves by the shoulders and shake some sense into ourselves, like, come on, man, don't be chicken, just do it. What are you waiting for? We can't go back in time and redo anything, but we can be intentional to start doing these things even more now so we don't have those regrets later. And how can we do that? That's kind of what I want to focus in on this morning. How can we stay on track with living the way God wants us to, like right here, right now, before it's too late? And so there's four practical things I want to mention this morning. About what are you waiting for, right? Four practical things that I think can help us, well, seize the moment or however you want to put it, okay? The first thing is this, pay attention to the Spirit's voice, right? Pay attention to the Spirit's voice. Like when God is speaking to you, listen up. And it may be in different ways at different times. Right? It might be a nudge in your spirit. He's prompting you to do something that something you just can't shake. It might be a thought in your mind that he gives you. It might be an encouragement from another friend, a friend or someone who's a believer. It might be just a coincidence that is just too impossible not to be a God thing, right? That happens sometimes. Or maybe even some kind of sign or confirmation of what God wants you to do. Right? Well, when these things happen, pay attention to that and do what it is he's asking you to do. So Galatians 6:25 says this, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Right? We're supposed to walk in step with the Spirit. I read that verse because that's our ESV that we typically study out of, but the New Living Translation, I like the way that it says this too. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Right? Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In other words, whatever God tells you to do, do it. Do it. So if it's to open up to your neighbor or talk to that person in line at the store, if it's to give more than you're currently giving toward the work of the church or God's purposes in the world, if it's to start serving or to step out in a new way that's not all that comfortable for you, if it's to confess a struggle with sin to a trusted friend or to quit some hobby that's getting in the way of your walk with Jesus, right? Whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, whatever he's speaking to you, do it. Do it. If the Spirit is speaking to you in some way, be sure you take action and do it right away because that window of opportunity may close. I had a soccer meeting a couple weeks ago, and after the meeting, I was like, it was a long day at the end of a long week or toward the end of a long week, and was exhausted going into the meeting, so I was kind of like looking forward to it being done. But like as I was there, there were some conversations that were sort of happening, and I just had this sense in my spirit, like, hey, stick around, talk to this guy. You know, there's some maybe something. I'm like, okay, all right. I just felt like it was he was kind of leading me to stick and have a conversation. We ended up talking for about 45 minutes about his career path, his life path, and about his spiritual journey as well. And it was, you know, on the one hand, I was like, well, maybe I'm here to give some great wisdom. And it really wasn't that, but it was a really encouraging conversation that the two of us had, right? So when we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, it can accomplish some amazing things, right? Like God often uses that. He speaks to us so that he can accomplish some amazing things that he wants to do. So pay attention to the Spirit's voice. So that's the first thing. Second thing is this. Pay attention to the Scripture's instruction, right? Pay attention to Scripture's instruction. Now, there are some things about our spiritual journeys that God's Spirit shouldn't even have to spell out for us because God already did in the Bible, right, in his Word. And so, you know, if you're getting a prompting, having a feeling that maybe you should do something contrary to his Word, no, right? God is never going to tell you, oh, leave your husband to be with another man. Or maybe you should spend some time at the strip club. Or you should lie or cheat or steal. Right? Like those things, he's not going to speak to us. He's never going to tell us to engage in a sinful activity that his Word already says is wrong. Right? And here's the thing. If we think it's okay to jump into something that the Scripture says is a sinful activity, well, that's a problem for us, right? In Matthew 6:23, this is Jesus speaking, says, when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness, right? Because the eye is like a lamp. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. In other words, if what you're thinking is good is actually evil or bad, you're in trouble. Right? And so, if it's contrary to his Word, it's not the voice of God. It could be your own voice trying to get something you want. It could be the voice of the enemy trying to lead you astray. And so these two things, Ephesians 5 says this, and I think this is maybe sums it up a little bit, but look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Right? We have to understand. We have to find out what the will of God is. And we do that by paying attention to the Spirit's voice and paying attention to God's instruction in his Word. Right? So those are the first two things. The third thing is this, don't try to justify your disobedience. Don't try to justify your disobedience. Like, don't try to make sense or make it right that you're not listening to God. And I think one of the reasons we need to be responsive to the Spirit's voice and the instructions in God's Word is because when we ignore it, it makes us more callous to it. Like one young single woman that I knew a while back started dating a guy who wasn't a believer. She was a believer, he wasn't. And I'm like, you shouldn't really be doing that. She's like, oh, I know, but it's not like I'm going to sleep with him. She ended up sleeping with him and got pregnant. So we talked about that. Well, yeah, but it's not like I'm going to like move in with him or anything when I have the baby. She moved in with him. And we talked about that. But it's not like I'm going to marry him. He's not a follower of Christ. I wouldn't do that. But she ended up marrying him. And a few years later, they were divorced. She was a single mom. And honestly, I don't know that her faith ever rebounded. Right? Now, she basically just ignored God a little bit here, and then a little bit more there, and it led her to the point that she didn't. What God said didn't even matter anymore. Right? She was just doing her own thing. She lost her sense of conviction over the sin that she was walking into. And that's a slippery slope. We can end up in a pretty bad place. And I think that's why Hebrews 3 tells us this, like, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Right? Do not harden your hearts. Pay attention to what he's saying. Don't try to justify disobedience in our life. And it can be a little bit more subtle than that, too. Like, how many times have we said something to ourselves that maybe sounds like this? Well, I know God wants me to fill in the blank, but, right? I know God wants me to invite them to church, but, I know God wants me to be more generous, but, I know God wants me to quit watching that kind of movie or show, but, I know God wants me to quit the smoking or overeating or clicking on those websites, but, and here's the thing, whatever the but is that comes next in that statement, it's a cop-out, right? What possible answer can you put in there that makes it right? There isn't one, because it's what God wants you to do, and that's what matters. We need to choose to do that right thing, that the thing that God wants us to do. If not, we're just disobeying God, which is never the right choice, right? So don't try to justify our disobedience. That keeps us moving in the right direction. And here's the fourth thing. Don't be intimidated by your inadequacies. Right? Don't be intimidated by your inadequacies. I think sometimes the voices that we often believe, we let penetrate, that cause us to hesitate or avoid doing the things that God wants us to do, it kind of sounds like this. Well, I'm not gifted like so-and-so. So I don't want to do that. Or I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing and just mess it up. I don't know if it's going to turn out well. I like my life the way it is. I don't want to give that up. I don't want to turn somebody off or push them away. I don't know what to say. Or maybe it boils down to some variation of this. I'm scared. I'm scared to do what God is asking me to do. I mean, how many times have feelings like that maybe caused us to at least hesitate to do something God asked us to do or just avoid doing it altogether? And then over time, often that aspect of our faith kind of becomes non-existent in our faith life, right? But here's the thing. Even if those things you feel are true, God is bigger than any of those things, right? No excuse or reason we can give is an issue for God, right? My inadequacies, your inadequacies, your insecurities, my insufficiencies and your insufficiencies, that is not a problem for the Lord. He's the God who's all-powerful, who can do anything and use anyone. So if he's calling us to do it, we should do it, and we trust him, because all those inadequacies and insufficiencies and things that we have, it's not too much for him. In 2 Corinthians, Paul was writing, it said this in chapter 12, but he said to me, talking about his prayers, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Right? And you know, we've probably heard that passage before, that statement before, but when I am weak, then I am strong. Don't be intimidated by the things that you consider to be inadequacies. It is in our weakness that God can really do a great work, because the power of God is what shines through, not the power of me or the power of you. In fact, if you think about it, we often get in trouble when we try to power through and accomplish things on our own strength, on our own power, because we can't do it. We get worn out. We get tired. We fail. And we feel miserable for it. But God wants to do, when he wants to do something and is leading and prompting us to do it, he'll give us what we need to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. Right? So don't be intimidated by your inadequacies. So again, how can we stay on track? Living with how God wants us to now, right? And not waiting, right? Not hesitating until it's too late. These four things are things I think we should consider. Pay attention to the Spirit's voice. Pay attention to the Scripture's instructions. Don't try to justify our disobedience, and don't be intimidated by our inadequacies. All right? I want to close with this, just one more verse from Galatians 2. Paul writing again. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It means this. Our life is no longer our own. It's his. Right? If we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we've been crucified with Christ. We no longer live. It's now his life. It's his life to live through us. So we have to pay attention to what he is speaking to us. If God is speaking to you, whether it's through his Spirit prompting you or by his word instructing you, you need to listen, you need to obey. What he wants you to do for a reason. It's to accomplish his purposes. Maybe to accomplish his purposes in you. Maybe to accomplish his purposes in someone else's life. So when he's speaking, do it. Listen to him. Obey him. Take that step of faith. And if you find yourself hesitating in that moment, like you can maybe remember this question and this topic from today. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Because unless it's the Lord telling you to wait, then it's time to move, to take the step of faith and to trust in him. I want to ask if you'd join me in prayer for a moment, and worship team, if you want to come, we'll finish up this morning with a few songs of worship that kind of reflect the idea of steps of faith, trusting him. Lord God, this morning we know, we understand that there are many different areas of our lives that would be easy to hesitate in, they are easy to just maybe ignore you a bit, to push aside. And it's probably different struggle for each one of us. You know our hearts, you know our struggles, you know our weakness. But Lord God, this morning I pray that we would be paying attention to you, to your Spirit and how you're prompting us, and to your word and how you're instructing us. And we know that doesn't really come automatically. We know we've got to seek you, to hear your voice, to listen to your Spirit. We know we've got to open up our Bibles to understand what your word says, unless we do those things, unless we're speaking with you and understanding you in scripture, we're going to have a really hard time knowing what it is you want from us. So beyond just paying attention, we pray that you would help us to pursue you in those areas, so that with confidence we'd be able to recognize it when you're speaking. And God, help us not to reject it based on a but statement, right? When you're speaking to us, help us not to make up an excuse or a reason not to do it. Help us not to hesitate. Help us not to wait when you're calling us to move. And Lord, also help us to get past the reality of our own inadequacies. But God, in our spirit, I think sometimes we might be scared, but mostly we just feel like there's no way we can accomplish what it is you are looking to do. And we can't. We can't on our own strength, but you can. Because you are strong, you are mighty, and there's nothing that can stop you. You can accomplish whatever it is you want to through whoever it is you want to use, even us. So help us to step out in faith, to trust you, wherever it is you're leading us or whatever it is you're calling us to do. Break through our insecurities. Give us the power and the strength we need and help us to walk by faith. Pray these things in the name of Christ.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.